So I flew out to Atlanta to go work with Thugga. We did a session real quick. Me and Thugga exchanged probably 4 words, and that's about it. Session went so smooth. I remember someone asking me, they were like, did he like yell at you or like snap? I was like, nah. That person was like, damn, you must be really good. And I was like, I guess.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I'm here with Tito Just Music, producer, engineer. I mean, this guy literally fucking does it all. You've worked with some of the biggest names in the game, bro. And I'm pleasure to call you my boy. So thanks for coming today or having us. We really appreciate it. And dude, we're in Nashville. What's going on, dude? We're in Nashville.
So I came out here a year ago and we hit up the bars on Broadway, and it was fucking amazing. And we went to like the best studio in the world. Well, the best studio that I've been to, but it's considered the best studio in the world. It's called Blackbird Studios, and almost all the biggest people like here and everywhere have been there. And the place is incredible. I think they have like probably 20 or 40 of every piece of gear. Like, it's just insane. And I had a blast creating there, and then I just loved the energy here. So we came back. So one of my friends that I work with, he started off a couple clothing lines and sold them, and he just wants to make music out here. So I came out here, built this studio with him not too long ago, I think like 2 weeks ago, put the studio together, and I'm excited just to like create out here. Energy is so refreshing.
I love that, because I saw you like a couple weeks ago. I hit you on Instagram and I was like, yo, what are you going to be down here for a minute or whatever? And you didn't even say like for sure if you were going to necessarily be down here for a while. But the studio you built here is fucking unreal, bro. I kind of wanted to start more from the top, and then I think we'll dig into the studio in a little bit and how we got to this. Because if you guys had any idea where I'm sitting, I'm just going to leave it. It's a fucking sick studio. I mean, dude, this is unbelievable. So, I mean, Tito, where are you from? And then just kind of give me your childhood, man. Kind of give me growing up and where music really played a role for you.
So growing up, I grew up in Miami. I was actually born in L.A., moved to Miami when I was like 2 weeks young.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was a bad kid, like really bad. Like, fuck, I would just do everything that you weren't supposed to do.
Like what, dude? What were you doing?
Man, I'm talking about just like getting fucked up in Orlando. After I moved there, after like when I was like 14, there was nothing to do, so I would steal cars.
No shit.
Just joyride them for a week and then go to the next car and then do stupid shit. And it was just I was just bored. And it was like, Orlando's one of those cities where it's just Mickey Mouse. So it's just like, That's it. There's nothing else. So I basically was just reckless. But then I realized that when I was 17, I started doing DJing when I was 10 years old. Then I started engineering on this program named Cool Edit.
Okay.
Which Adobe bought it out. And it was called Adobe Audition afterwards. It was the same exact program. I was just recording on that some of my friends, and I was DJing, but I like wanted to get, instead of playing everyone's music, I wanted to get into making music. So I would, of course, I would always be a bad child, but then I always had this music thing going on. And my stepdad was a manager for this big group at the time called Smiles and South Star. It was these two rappers out of Florida. They had a big hit back in the day. And he was a manager, and he would always bring me to the studio. So I would go to these big studios. Hit Factory was one of them in Miami. And I remember looking at the engineer and just be like, that's what I want to do one day. And
that's probably crazy looking back now.
Yeah.
And thinking about that, right?
Yeah. At 8 years old, that I looked at, yeah. That was my vision, like someone in the room. And I was like, I want to be that guy one day. And it became that. But I was always in trouble, always getting grounded and shit, and just by myself in my room and just thinking about when I was going to have freedom again, because I was always grounded. Like, I would get off ground, being grounded, and then just get grounded the next day again, because I was so fucking bad, really bad.
You know you were bad when you are the one who says that you were really bad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not just somebody else telling the story. You're owning the fact that you were definitely
I deserved all my punishments. Let's just say that.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then, in Orlando, I had to start thinking about what I wanted to do in my life, because my mom put this pressure on me, like, oh, you got to leave when you're 18. Like, you know, every parent does that.
Yeah.
You know?
In some capacity, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, she knew, of course, her son was a fuck up. And, but in high school, so this was a sophomore year. I only made it to sophomore year, first of all. So,
And you dropped out?
Yeah, I dropped out.
No way.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
So,
because most of the successful people I meet, I mean, truthfully, dude, are not good in school.
Yeah.
I mean, just not.
I was horrible in school. So I remember this was sophomore year, and I had a studio in my room, next to my bed. And my parents, for like Christmas, they would get me little like things to get music equipment. And my dad, like my real dad, would get me stuff too. My stepdad and my mom. And like, so I would like accumulate all this stuff.
So they were really feeding into your music, because that was almost like they loved that about
you. My mom just wanted me to do something, but she wasn't supportive as much as with music, but my stepdad and my dad were, like, they knew. But my mom was like, I just want him to figure something out that he's gonna be good, you know? But because music is a hit or miss, you know?
Absolutely.
So I don't blame her. I would always record in my room. I remember going around. Orlando was a new city, so I had to figure out how to record people, because I wasn't gonna record myself, because I wasn't doing that, you know. So I went to school, and I knew some people that did music. I knew of them, and I just went up to them and I said, "Do you guys want to record?" And then we started recording every single day. I would skip school to go record. I would have stolen cars, pick up girls from school, go to school, pick them up, take them, and just have studio sessions in my house.
That sounds like a good fucking time, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Bitches and stolen cars, let's go, dude.
Yeah, so.
Sick invite, Tito, thanks.
So basically, that I would always be recording and recording and recording. I was on Pro Tools. So
okay, yeah.
At 15 years old, I got my Pro Tools rig for Christmas.
Okay.
And this was like when Pro Tools only allowed you to have 16 tracks. Like, now they allow you to have whatever, how many tracks you want. I basically was like always on Pro Tools and like recording and recording. And I started learning Logic. And I remember the last thing I got arrested for was for stealing at the mall. And like, I knew that this was like the end of like of being punished as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, cause like the next thing was like getting like real, like not real.
Well, you're
time,
going to
but
jail though. Yeah.
All my cases got dropped. All my shit is expunged. Like for some reason, I don't know why. Like, luckily, like whenever I had to go to court, they just dropped it that same day. So I never got any charges, which is crazy.
Right.
And
which is wild, bro. You never got charges like that. Cause you think like, truthfully, bro, like that could fuck a lot of things up.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't know, because like the system, in my opinion, because I've been arrested plenty of times, where the system is more meant to keep you in it.
Yeah.
Right? So that's great that didn't happen to you, for real.
I didn't get anything, and plus I would have been charged as a minor anyways, but I didn't get anything, and I just like my stepdad would actually like for a punishment, he would make me get ready for court, but he knew I didn't have court. And then right when I would get all up and ready, he would tell me, like, you don't have court. So I would be like, but the punishment, part of the punishment was, like, you see, you had to get up early and this and that. Like,
yeah.
That's the punishment. But you don't have court. So
yeah, but he cared enough to, like, make that a point to you. And it seems like that got across to you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that did fuck with you, right?
Yeah. And then I remember, like, what really came across too was like I just didn't want to make my mom upset anymore. I had to take something serious, And the only thing that I really did like doing was making music, and I couldn't rely on school because I wasn't like book smart.
So, right.
You know, so.
Was that obvious to you at that time where you're not book smart, but you do have such a passion for music where it's like, it's kind of become one of those things at that point where it's consumed you, and that's why you ended up not applying yourself in school? Because you're a smart guy. I don't think it's a matter of you couldn't do school. It's more of just like you just, your head was not there.
I was lazy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I think I just, if I wasn't getting like attention like that, I was just like not in it. Like,
yeah,
you know, in school they put 30 kids in a room and it's like, they don't really concentrate on you. I think everyone learns different. I'm more of a hands-on person, and I just was bored. I was fucking bored and lazy, and, you know, I just didn't want to be there. Like, I mean, I liked the fact of socializing with people, and that's what I looked forward to, like, passing periods and shit, but nothing else, like, you know?
So yeah, it's of like, course.
So I just got bored of it, and I was really bored of it at, like, even second grade, like, I remember. Like, I was just like, this is not me, you know? And I feel bad for kids that are forced, you know, like, to have to go through that and not end up doing anything because of that, because they just let the system kill them. For me, like, my dad's really smart. Like, my dad was, he went to prison for selling drugs. He was pretty big time at the time. And he just wasn't school smart either. So he saw that in me, course, because my grades and stuff. And my dad was, I had a stepdad, so
yeah, I do too,
was very supportive of anything I did. But my dad too, like, he would see these things. So my mom was trying to like tell me to go to college, and my dad was like, you're gonna ruin the kid if you force him to go to college. Like,
right,
he's just gonna do something that he hates, you know? So why don't you just let him do whatever he wants to do? So at that point, my mom realized that was true. So she realized that I never went to school, because I never did. I would always skip, or I would go for like one period and then leave. And I remember the last 3 days of school, I got suspended for going to every lunch on the last 3 days. And then they saw me and they pointed me out and they suspended me. And so I went back home. My mom told me that day, she was like, you might as well just drop out. But she didn't know I got suspended. So she was like, you might as well just drop out, because you never go either way. And I was like, you're right. So I just stopped going to school. I never even called to say anything. I just stopped going.
Was that weird for you at that point? Because all the other kids and people that you probably even knew at that time were going to school, and then you're just not?
Well, these people I knew for like only a year.
Yeah, so it wasn't a long time.
So it wasn't not even a full year. So I probably knew them for like 8 months, 9 months, because I was new to that city.
Yeah.
So it wasn't weird. I just like, I basically used school to get the people that I needed to perfect my stuff. And then I left with it. So I just left with the music people. And then they were fuck ups too. So they would just come to my house and record even after the fact that I dropped out.
Do you think for yourself at that point, you're dropped out of school, you're making music, you've very obviously found your passion.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, is there any part of you that maybe now you're like, man, I should have stayed in school? Or do you look back and go, man, I really appreciate even my mom saying, you know, you should just drop out because you're not fucking going anyways.
My dad told me, he was like, I'll pay for whatever, you know, school or tech school you want to go to. I was like, well, I want to take music serious, so I might as well just go to school for it. So I went to this school and they basically asked me for a high school diploma. So I basically got a fake one and I went back to them and they said that they needed something accredited by the end of the year.
Yeah.
I paid them cash. So I paid them my dad's money cash.
Yeah.
So they couldn't say no. And then they never even mentioned anything, and I just like graduated or whatever you call
it. For real?
Yeah, from there. So I had to take this little fucking test. But that was back then when we had the Sidekicks. But the Sidekick, I guess if you went back, it didn't register. The website didn't register that you went back. So at the end, it tells you all the answers. So I just went back and I put all the answers in and I aced it. And then I just printed out. I got my thing in the mail and I went to the thing with it. I think it was called, like, I don't even know, actually, the name of the diploma, whatever. I still have it.
And what city are you in at this point?
What
city are you in at this point?
Oh, L.A.
You're in L.A. now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So.
Oh, no. At this point, it was Orlando.
Orlando, right. Yeah. Okay. So what point then? I mean, continue, but are you moving to L.A. soon after this?
Okay. So, all right. So then I went to school. Then I did all of that. And then my dad came and he came to visit me and he was like, hey, he just read this book called The Secret, which everyone probably knows of.
Yeah, of course.
But. He read this book and he told me a little bit about it. I didn't end up reading it at this time because I wasn't book smart. So I didn't fucking want to open up a fucking book. So I remember he told me, he's like, anything you believe in, like anything that you believe that's going to happen without one single doubt will happen. So this is the craziest thing, that I sat in my room and I took my dad's word for it. So I sat in my room and I said I was going to work with Lady Gaga, Pitbull, and Janet Jackson in 3 months. And literally in 3 months later, I did. Which was fucking, it was weird that happened.
Yeah.
But it was like these, like, when you believe in these wishes, like, they come true. And
that's, I call that delusional confidence, because that's what I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally feel that.
And so basically the way that it unraveled was that I went back after my school. I went back to my tech school. I went back to L.A. to visit my dad, because I would always go every year to visit my dad. And I went to visit him. And right when I dropped down, I was at Lala's Grill. You know Lala's Grill?
Yeah, 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 of course.
So I was there on Melrose. And my stepdad calls and he's like, hey, there's an internship available in LA for Rodney Jerkins. Rodney Jerkins is, you know, he's done a bunch of
things. Yeah, of course.
He was like, it's available. And I'm like, damn, but I'm only visiting. But he was like, ask your dad. Like, maybe, you know, you can stay out there. So I asked my dad, and my dad the next day got me a car. And he had a bunch of spare cars like that. He was like selling and stuff like that, because he like flips. My dad's a hustler, he just like flips.
Yeah, he does his thing. I get it.
Yeah, so he just got me a car the next day, and he was just like, here, he would give me $100 just to get gas and food. And I lived an hour away, so it was like he would give me gas money for food and gas money. Yeah, so I would just always drive to this internship. But I remember going to the interview of the internship, and someone once told me, like, you know, just go above and beyond. Like, even, like, before you're hired, like, just show, like, you know. So I remember I walked in to do the interview, but they weren't, like, the two engineers had to like, interview me for an internship.
I get it, yeah.
So one of them wasn't there, and he was on his way at a certain time. So I had, like, an hour to kill or something like that. So I just went into the cable closet and I started organizing all the cables, like just wrapping them and just organizing them on the walls. And literally the guy like walked in and he was like, you're hired. And I was like, shit.
And that's so big though, yeah. Right? Because it's like shows that you're really fucking serious about what you're doing.
Yeah.
God.
And then
that's a great example for everybody, for real though. I mean, it really is a great example of going above and beyond, even when you have no responsibilities at that point.
Yeah.
Right? You're just there to make things work.
Yeah.
Right? So you get, they say you're hired. Mm-hmm. What does that feel like from a mental standpoint for you? Like, how, are you on cloud nine at that point?
Yeah, because I'm part of probably one of the biggest teams, one of the biggest camps. But this is even the crazier part. That no one literally climbs the ladder in that camp for like less than 3 years. So like you're working 3 years for free, right? There was this other guy that was working there that wasn't getting paid either. Well, I ended up going back home for like a vacation to visit my family. And Rodney asked about me, like, where's Tito? And they were like, well, he's an intern, so he went back home to visit, you know. And there, and he was like, well, when he gets back, put him on payroll so he can't leave. So I got hired as pay 4 months later.
Big moment for you.
Yeah, because like, no, nobody, like,
nobody's doing that.
No one was getting paid.
And that's really just a testament, like, I think, to you as a person. You're extremely easy to talk to and get along with. Yeah. But I think the other side of it, too, is just how, like, your ability to put in the work and do your thing. Like, it's fucking killer.
I started getting paid, even though it wasn't much. It was something. I ended up leaving there. I think I spent, like, a year and a half or 2 years there. It was crazy because it was, like, a camp. It was really, like, a camp. Like, so I learned, like, this work ethics that you don't learn in school. School didn't really teach me a lot because I already knew a lot of things, but I thought they would teach me other things, like mixing and all that, but I get it. They just teach you, like, what things are and the buttons that you press and stuff like that. So I learned a little bit of stuff that I didn't know from school, but being in the industry, I learned how to deal with people. I learned how to work at people's pace and keep the creativity flowing at a certain speed. So it was kind of harsh. So it was like I was afraid of messing up at a point. So my mistakes really got to a minimum point.
Because you're so detail-oriented.
Yeah.
And that's why you're so successful, I think. I mean, really, I think that's a big part of it. Because I don't think anyone is more critical about your work than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was just wanted to get better and better and better. And then I remember, like, finally getting better. And he told me, like, he was like, I see you. And I was like, damn. Okay. Like, so I kept on, like, after that, I kept on working with producers and stuff and building situations with them. And then I remember meeting someone and they told me, like, you know, you should work on your production. So at that point, I ended up, like, working, like, on my production, and I started popping Adderall at that time. I ended up getting signed for a pretty good amount of money that I, like, never seen.
Yeah.
You know? And it took 2 months of me just working and then got signed. And we were struggling, me and my friend. His name's Tizio. He's really big. He's mixing for everyone now. But me and him, we were struggling and we were getting fucked up all the time and this and that. And then we just blew through the money super quick after. but we had fun.
But it was a good time, right? Like, yeah. If you had to go back, you'd do that again, right?
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing.
So I remember that ended up happening. And, yeah, I mean, since then, I just kept on working and working and working. And ended up just getting plaques and, I guess, nomination.
What did it mean to you in that camp? Was it somebody else's work ethic that really put you on like that? You see how they're working?
It was a production camp. So there was probably like 8 producers, 3 engineers, if you call me one at that time.
Yeah.
You know, so 3, maybe 4 engineers. And there was 7 rooms going on. So I remember that I was the type of person I am now. If something's broke, like, I want to figure out why it's broken and fix it. You know, I'm really, like, a troubleshooter. So I would build these rooms for everyone and fix their gear and this and that and just figure out all these problems. And I think that's what kept me around, was that I was just so, like, about, like, figuring it out.
Do you think that's work other people, not that they weren't willing to do, but you almost took it upon yourself as, this is just part of what I do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just wanted, the type of brain I have is, like, I need to know how things work for it to work. So I have that in me, but I think a lot of people where they mess up is that they just want to be on the computer, on Pro Tools, on Logic and stuff. And it's just like, that is just, you got to know, like, what's in the room and how to use everything in the room before you start, like, going into this program, you know? Or if your room is your bedroom, then yeah, learn the program, but always end up, like, when you end up in a studio, like, learn the room, like, learn how to function in a room by yourself.
Absolutely.
That was my thing, was, like, to learn, like, the room and learn how to figure it out. And when no one's around, I can actually use this fucking room, you know? So, and yeah, I stopped smoking weed because I would started like falling asleep at night. What was the time that I can actually like learn and create and
Yeah.
stuff? So I stopped smoking weed at that time because of that.
It's a game changer, not smoking weed. I actually stopped smoking weed a couple weeks ago, and we went out last night, and this guy had a bowl, and I did hit it, and it was really good. But I stopped smoking weed as well, dude, and I started dreaming again, which I thought was like really fucked
Well, yeah,
up.
that happens.
But I also think that I just am like 20 million times more productive now because I don't have that crutch to lean on. Was that something at that point too that also really made your game take it from here to there? Yeah.
And yeah, dropping that was a big thing. But I'm a firm believer in dreams. So
Okay.
I'm a
Talk to
firm
me about this. I want to hear this.
throughout my career and stuff. I got into a point where I was where the industry makes it not the industry, but the people in the industry make it more acceptable about getting fucked up, and working.
Absolutely.
So I got to this point where like I was just always like, oh, the more fucked up you get, the more crazier shit you make, you know? And I think at that point, if you tell yourself that, then yeah, it's gonna be that, but it'll only be that to a certain extent. You put yourself in a jar still, you know? So you still like you're still in a like you're put yourself in this ball in this jar that you're still only making a certain amount of music, like certain type of music. And maybe you are pumping out more music, but your quality of music is not all that. It's just quantity, but it's the quality is not all there.
Which is not what that's
So
all about.
yeah, so getting to that point that what you said, the whole dream state is because at 29, I did something called DMT.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a very, very dark thing, which I guess, I believe that it's something like the devil or some it is a devil or something like that or whatever it is. But I don't like the, I could tell you the story for an hour, but what happened, the main thing about this was that I saw this and I didn't like it, So I never, at that point, never knew God was fully real.
Right.
It came down to a point that I ended up praying and I saw this halo over me. At that point, I went sober and my whole life has, it turned around. Like, I woke up every day wanting to live and my dreams started talking to me. I started receiving signs of things that were going to happen and things like that. So I'm a firm believer in something. There's a higher power, whatever you want to call it. I call it God, but there's something talking to us, And some substances, they like weed is not what it, weed is not weed anymore.
No,
I mean, if you haven't realized that,
it's not.
it's not. It's they're putting these chemicals to make this flower look so good and smoke so good and get you to the highest point now, where it's not even a plant anymore,
Yeah, it's
It's
like
like
it chemically altered at that point.
it's grown inside. It's not even grown by the sun,
Yeah.
All this type of stuff is cutting off of a lot of things. What is it called?
Neural receptors.
Yeah, in
Yep.
your brain that are not functioning right the right way. I just know that when I went sober, like something started happening that was different for me and my life. Bro, which is crazy because I at that time like had a lot of time to myself and I started writing down things and I wrote down like a couple things that was crazy that I wanted to do and it was funny because one of the things one of the projects that I ended up eventually getting after I wrote it down it was 3 months later it's always the number three
It is, dude. Always.
yeah for me I saw 333 after like it was in my best friend's password
Everything's threes. Bad
after.
things in threes. Every 100% agree.
Yeah.
100% agree with that.
So 333, the number came to me because it started coming to me because my best friend, it was in his password and he passed away. And at, so then I started seeing three everywhere. But so 3 months after I wrote that down, I remember that I met this one person that I thought she was a star and I started working with her and we like built up this whole thing like just figuring it out. Being something, like now it's the start of something, but it's still something, And I think that's so beautiful of it, that like the first thing I wrote down, and it was on her birthday, the day that I wrote it down.
Wow.
And I didn't know her until 3 months after.
That's
I
wrote fucked.
It down on her birthday. And it ended up being this thing, and I just saw both of our hard works go into this and then like just become something, you know, this manifestation, you know. And you know, we were big on like manifestations and vision boards and stuff like that, and we would do this on our spare times and stuff. And all the things that she put on her vision board, she ended up getting all of them, which is fucking crazy how everything like, you know, worked. But
I think when you envision stuff like that, dude, like, and I'm dealing with the same thing with me right now, and this is nowhere where I want, like, this is not even close to how big I want it to get.
Yeah.
But like, dude, when you really think about that stuff and you apply it and you manifest it and you speak it into existence, I truly believe that that shit happens. You know,
yeah,
I really do, dude. I mean, I couldn't agree more with what you just said. Yeah. I mean, for real, dude, that's exactly it.
Yeah. And it's just, it's crazy. 'Cause it's like, it was just like so many like little things that I've like spoke into existence, and I'm still doing it now. And like, now I speak like little things by mistake, but I'm always good to like stop the negative.
Yeah.
You know, the little negative things that I like, we all come across like in our minds and stuff. And I'm good at controlling that. Manifestation is so, so true.
What do you do to control those negative things in your mind? Like, do you have like a specific practice that you work on, or is it okay?
So in the book, The Secret, it just tells you to like basically just say that you cancel it out. So every time I have a negative thought, I just say cancel that negative thought.
Take that piece of advice. I like that. Yeah. I love that. I love that. Cancel that out. And you just probably, you say it out loud maybe sometimes.
I've been saying that since I was 17. So my brain is just automatically, once I recognize a negative thought, I just cancel it.
That's heavy for me, because I love that, because I deal with, you know, depression and stuff like that on a regular basis. Yeah. And that's just another tool, and I appreciate that, because I always look for, when we do these podcasts, to get as many different tools as I possibly can to use for myself. You know what I mean? So let's all use that tool, because that's a big one. Cancel that thought out.
Yeah.
So how old are you now?
I'm 33.
You're 33 now.
Just turned 33. Yeah.
I like that. And can we all just acknowledge Tito's swag? What kind of jewelry are you wearing right now, bro? 'Cause that watch is fucking dope. Like, so talk to me about what's going on there.
So basically here in Nashville, you know, the studio is my friend's studio. We work together. He's releasing this this watch brand. So I'm in Nashville with my friend, and he is he's doing music out here. We're working together doing music and trying to take over this fucking city, which is kind of cheesy saying that, but it's
just, no, like, that's what it
you
is.
You have
Come
to have
on.
That attitude,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
And he's building this this watch brand, and it's so basically what it is, it's these watches that look high end, but they're affordable prices, because like, okay, so that industry is like, there's an industry of like the Rolexes and the APs and all of that,
of course,
but you gotta have mills in your account to get one of those that you can afford,
to actually afford
yeah, it,
absolutely,
right? You know, instead of wearing your bank account on your wrist, you know?
So many people do that in LA, bro.
Yeah.
So many people do that.
And it's kind of weird to wear a fake one. So he has taken this idea of making this watch that looks very high end for cost. For like, not cost, but, you know, cost efficient.
Absolutely.
For people. And the brand is called Aura.
And if you guys go down in the link in the description, we'll put his link in there.
Yeah,
so we can
the Instagram link, because the website's not launched yet. But
okay.
I will let you know the website's name too.
Yeah, so. And we could toss the IG down there for everybody too, because I definitely want to pick up one of those. I mean, that thing is fucking nasty, dude.
Yeah,
that thing is dope.
I have that. And this guy, he knows about fashion, a lot of fashion. So I remember meeting him, and I didn't have fashion at all. I would always be in sweats and stuff. And
he just called me out.
He so he put me on to. So okay, I might sound like I'm chasing this whole hype right now.
Yeah, I got you. Go.
Because I was on this before, 5 years ago.
So, oh, wow. So this was all this is way before.
6 years ago. So this is right now we're in 2023. This was 6 years ago, right? Chrome Hearts. I have my rings are Chrome Hearts. Well, two of them. My bracelet's Chrome Hearts and my chain is Chrome Hearts, right? So he put me onto this, and I really didn't really care for the brand at first because, like, I wasn't really into anything.
Yeah.
So I just started rocking it, and then it popped off. Like, it came back around because Chrome Hearts has always been around.
Okay.
But it came back around. It broke into the urban side of the industry, the hip-hop side of the industry, you know? Now people are just like, holy shit, like, you know, like, you've been rocking this. Like, and I had, like, the Chrome Hearts glasses at the time.
So you're a real OG with that brand, though.
Yeah, I have a bunch of things. So that's my jewelry pieces. But, yeah, fashion-wise, he put me onto a bunch of fashion things before it even happened. Like, Gallery Department, everyone's wearing Gallery Department. But when it was a little boutique and they would customize your clothes for you, we were getting it.
You were already on it.
Yeah, we were on it. And my closet is pretty filled with Gallery, and everything has went up in value, and it's just crazy because it's clothing, but it's like art pieces, which is the dope part about Gallery. Well, it used to be before it was like big manufactured now because
it changes, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, it's because it's a bigger company. Now they can't just, you know.
It doesn't. Everything changes when it gets bigger.
It can't
like
be a boutique anymore. So I understand it. But talking about fashion, now that I'm over here in Nashville and I'm
swagging out, dude.
I love Nashville.
You should have seen Tito's outfit last night. He went to the CMAs, bro. You were swagging out last night, dude.
Yeah, so I'm picking up this whole Western swag. My boy's putting me onto the same person.
Yeah.
Again, he's putting me into this whole Western swag. But the funny part is, about 6 years ago when I met him, I told him since he does fashion, I told him about my uncle doing fashion, my great uncle and my cousin doing fashion, which Manuel was one of the people, or I think to put Elvis in the jumper suit.
Yep.
He designed that. He did Johnny Cash in all black. My cousin was the one that did the suit for him that actually was that Johnny Cash was buried in.
That is fucking wild.
Yeah, so this whole Western swag shit, it runs in my family. So it's like, now that I'm out here, I'm like, what's, like, fuck it, let's do it, you know? So I bought my first pair of Lucchese's, which is the bougie cowboy boots.
Yeah, those things. You showed me those before we started, dude. Those things are fucking sick.
And then my cousin was like, this morning, he saw me about to put them on. He's like, bro, take those off. And I was like, why? And he's like, come on, let's go. So I went to his house, and he gave me a pair of, like, his personally made fucking boots. And I'm like, these are fucking crazy.
They are fucking crazy.
Yeah, he makes clothing. He makes boots. He makes everything, jewelry, bunch of shit. But, yeah, my family is like, they're like legends out here. Like,
we went to Nudie's last night, okay? And that is, give me kind of a little bit of a background on that situation, if you could.
So I don't know like the actual story from them because I know like the family stories have changed.
But like you guys on the walls there.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
So I don't know like the full story, but what I've heard what it was that my great uncle used to work with Nudie, and then he had his daughter with one of he had a kid with Nudie's daughter.
Smart man.
So he branched off and did his own thing, and Nudie passed away. But a lot of that clothing was like they were both at it, that type of clothing. I don't know who was at it first. I don't know anything like what the logistics are, but I know he worked for him, so I'm pretty sure they got inspired.
The swag for that time period is just off the charts.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah. So, and he's still dressing people. Like, he did Lady Gaga. He did, like, so many so many people, I've seen them in their clothing. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous of how many people he is still
just crazy. Working with.
And I went to a thrift store, and one of his plain tees with his name on it was there. And I was like, this is fucking crazy. But, yeah, it's my family. And out here, like, I just feel very, I mean, with my cousin, like, he's very, like, cool about, like, just, like, he's like, yo, I didn't get dressed up by him from the CMAs. I should have mentioned it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm so used to LA people where it's like,
I know,
hey, you know, it's kind of weird asking for favors because of LA, but he was like, what the fuck? Why didn't you tell me? Like, I would have dressed you up and everyone's wearing my shit there. Like, come on. I was like, fuck.
That is a really weird thing about Los Angeles, because I got no shame in my game asking. And like, you're either going to get people that are like, I'm down to hook you up, or you get the complete opposite. They're like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You know? So you have that. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this. And obviously, if you're not comfortable talking about it, that's fine. But what are some of the big names you've worked with? Because I've seen some fucking, you know, plaques that you've got and things like that.
So there's two things that I do. I do engineering and I do production, right? My production, I'm not, I mean, just to be like real, like I'm not big on production. Like, that's not where my name comes from. It's from the engineering side of things, but I did get signed as a producer, and I am working on current things and stuff like that. Putting my hands in a lot of things right now. Actually, I do want to branch off into country music. I want to make real music.
Yeah.
And I want to make music with stories.
And you've been doing a lot of different stuff. I mean, I've seen, obviously, you're Grammy nominated with, what, Ariana?
So, yeah, so the people that I've worked with,
yeah, was,
I worked with Ariana Grande, nominated for that. I worked with Fifth Harmony when they were a group together. Worked with Meghan Trainor. I worked with Victoria Monet. Worked with Busta Rhymes. I had a quick session with Big Sean. I worked with Travis Scott. I knew Travis Scott before he was famous, too.
I went to his Astroworld concert in Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
Trippie Redd was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit was wild, bro.
I worked with Trippie.
Yeah.
I worked with...
Trippie's from Cleveland or Akron, I think, isn't he? Something like that. He's from Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think he is.
Fuck, I forget. Let me just look real quick.
Black China.
Black China. Black China's my best friend. We've been best friends for a long time.
You took her to a, what, the VMAs?
No.
What'd you take her to?
The Oscars.
Fucking, yeah, fuck me, right? The Oscars, bro. The fucking Oscars. Talk about showing up with a plus one, bro.
That's a funny story because I didn't. But I was there in the car when she went
yeah.
to it, just to walk the red carpet real quick. But we just dropped down from Atlanta, and she just did it and then walked out. But we took a video going back to the house after, and then the internet just had something to say for it.
Yeah, dude, they did.
So, yeah, I woke up the next morning, and I'm like, my name has been searched 250,000 times or some shit. Damn. I was like, what the fuck? This is crazy. But, okay, so, yeah, just because I have a blurred memory. Busta Rhymes, Migos, Nav, of course, Travis Scott, Roddy Ricch. Yeah, I worked with him a couple times. I knew him before he blew up, too. I did a session with Young Thug.
How was that?
Young Thug was cool.
Yeah?
Yeah. Which is funny because, like, I was with Busta. I flew out to Atlanta to go work with Thugga. We did a session real quick. Me and Thugga exchanged probably 4 words, and that's about it. Session went so smooth. I remember someone asking me there, like, did he, like, yell at you or, like, snap? I was like, nah. That person was like, damn, you must be really good. And I was like, I guess, like, of course, like, I know how to keep up with people's speeds and shit. Working with Busta, he would fire everyone. But I stuck with him for like 5 years.
That's sick. So you became close with him?
Yeah, I became really close with him. When he always like reaches out, or I reach out to him or something, and or we end up clashing, bumping into each other, and like it's just like family. He's real cool.
So like what I've noticed about, especially when I go to LA, and I've, as you know, I spend a ton of time out there now. You meet these people. And like some of them are everything you'd ever imagine them to be. And then some of them you're so disappointed. Right. Mm-hmm. Have you had an experience, and I don't name names, but like, have you had an experience where you go work with somebody and you're like, wow, you actually suck?
There's a difference, right, between someone talented and there's a difference between a recording artist. So if you understand that, then you can understand that not everyone is like completely talented of what you hear on the radio or what you hear through your phone, wherever you're hearing these platforms, you know, from these platforms. But
and that has a lot to do with the engineer and the production, right? I mean, as far as what you're hearing on the radio and stuff, right?
And the songwriters and like all of everything behind it too. But you know, we're all human beings, mm-hmm. and everything that we do is not going to be, we're not a god.
Yeah.
You know, so everything we do is not perfect.
I have the same conversation with Malik Youssef. Uh-huh. And we've become pretty close. He's a good dude. Yeah. And I was asking him kind of the same thing, and he gave me pretty much the same answer.
Yeah.
You know, which I know he sits in a little bit of a different space than you do, for sure. Mm-hmm. But he gave me a very similar answer.
Yeah. So, and another thing is, like, not everyone has a good day. So I can't judge someone off of the day that I was with them.
Yeah, you're super understanding, empathetic, stuff like that.
Yeah. So answering that question is just like, I don't know. Like, not that I remember. Like, I think it is all the sessions that I've had, it was what it was, you know?
Yeah.
And there was great ones in there, and there was some that were cool. I don't know. I don't think people are any less than like what they appear to be, because like there's so much work that gets done behind the scenes that is just like, you don't know how hard they tried to do that, you know?
So I wanted to touch on that. And that was actually, you just led directly into what I was going to ask you. I've interviewed, and I've been trying to interview more engineers, more producers, more people that are songwriters, people that are doing things behind the scenes, because a lot of what you guys really don't see, that have never maybe occupied the space or been around it, is there is a million times what seems to be more work behind the scenes than there is of just laying down your track, right? And mm-hmm. and I think that it would be really cool if we were able to bring engineers, songwriters, producers to more of that famous space as well, and more acknowledgement for what you guys are doing, because it is everything to this, right? I mean, yeah. It really is. And so just wanted kind of your opinion on that, as far as, you know, what you're seeing there, and is that at all frustrating to you? You're a pretty humble guy, so I can't see you like chasing, being a clout chasing piece of shit like me, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I just wanted your opinion on that kind of stuff.
I think the answer to that question is, like, I wish that some engineers got more of the light. You know, they got the light shined on a little bit, and they got more respect. Some of them get treated like shit. I don't, because I choose the people that I work with, because, like, not every single room that I walk into, people don't know my credits, and you know, I'm cool with that, because I don't want to wear my credits on my shirt. Mm-hmm. You know, I just like, I some engineers, like, you know, they get the worst of it. Like, I've heard stories of like people pulling out guns and just like to kind of like scare the engineer or something. On the, of course, it's on the like hip-hop side of the industry
always
and things. But, or I mean, those people could be very fucked up out of their mind while they did that, or something like that, or some shit. But I feel like, yeah, they're like, we're engineers. It's like, we deal with file management, capturing the audio the right way. There is some engineers that are shitty, and they shouldn't be engineering. Let's just say that.
I would be the worst engineer ever.
But there's some that care about every little like thing about it, is to get the best result. and, you know, and keep things like your files safe, and they're responsible for that and stuff like that. And I think with all those responsibilities of things that people should be acknowledged a little bit more.
And that's, I'll tell you what, that was the most mind-blowing part when I first started interviewing anybody that sits, you know, behind the scenes more. I couldn't believe it, man. Mm. You know, I mean, I was came from this Cleveland where, you know, you don't see really any of that shit, you know?
Yeah.
And now you go out there and you start, even when I met you and, you know, a lot of other different people hanging out with Chip the Rip at his studio, stuff like that. And you're just like, damn, man, like a lot of that stuff is like, there's so much more to it than just laying down your track.
Yeah.
Right. So I really appreciate you commenting on that. What keeps you in a positive space on a regular basis? I've never seen you in a negative space. You seem to always be, you know, maybe, you know, I mean, everybody has their days, right? But you seem to always push through those. What are you doing every day to do that?
You see me on my worst days.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't show it. You know, I let people just make me happy, whoever it is, you know? And if you'd let that happen instead of, like, you know, shutting down, I think it helps you get out of it. And, you know, recently I've got out of a lot of things, and my life has changed, and not in, like, the best, like, ways, where, because life will never be the best.
Right.
You know, so it's not like there's a lot more to come and a lot more that I'm sitting back and manifesting and wishing for, and, you know, and asking God for certain things. Even on my worst days, I'll pick myself up, because I know I have to, and I don't want to show weakness, you know?
Right.
You know, and it's not from a non-humble place. It's from a place in my heart that I want to give a good vibe to someone than giving them a bad vibe, because energy is contagious.
Man, that's everything, you know? Right?
So I can set an energy off in you that I don't know if I did or not, and then you go on and you have a bad day, just, and you won't even notice it came from me, you know?
Right.
So it's like you gotta pick yourself up every fucking day and just wake up and just go after your day. And
I really like what you just said. You just said I could give you a bad energy, and then you could go off and have a bad day, and you don't even realize that's where it came from.
Yeah.
I mean, that's massive. That's huge, because you don't realize that, right? And I think I've done a pretty good job of trying to occupy a space. When I see somebody with a bad energy, I try to acknowledge it and, you know, stay the fuck away from it, you know? Oh, unless it's obviously somebody that, you know, needs help or, you know what I mean, is struggling and could use a friend in any capacity. I think for you, I know a lot of changes have happened in your life over the last couple of months, right? And so for me to see you and see how well you're doing and see what you're doing, and then to see that, you know, you just like are like, all right, like maybe these are the changes I need to be making, and these are the things I need to be doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so fucking dope.
Yeah. I mean, I think, your life is as is because of you, and you have to come to realize that so you can go on and change it, you know, but your reality is what you've accepted it to be. I feel like every time that you wake up and you're taking another breath, you have another chance, you know? And there's no such thing as, to me, in my brain, there's no such thing as like the future or the past. It's just about the now.
You're right here.
Yeah. So failure and completion only happens in the now. So you have to take full advantage of it, you know? And I could get better at that, of course, you know, everyone can, you know, even people that are at their peaks.
Still humans.
They can get even better. There's times that they fall a certain amount, and then they have to pick themselves up. And, you know, recently I did see my demons come out. I was heartbroken, and then I was off getting fucked up, and I had to change that because I started seeing the worst things of myself, and I started hearing, I mean, we all hear voices in our fucking head. There's something talking to us, right?
Absolutely.
And I started realizing a lot of negative voices in my head. I had to cut that off and had to move on from that. But you know what? Being in Nashville, there's a type of energy here that's very clear. I'm starting to love this place a lot. Want to just be more out here. I think maybe even eventually even move here.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. There's something in me that's telling me to do it, and I feel it. There's this tingling sensation that is happening like every time.
Isn't that so magical? Isn't that the best, man? Mm-hmm. You know, because you come out of that. I was in the same space, man. I was heartbroken, you know, for a long time, man, you know. And I came to a realization, actually, within the last month and a half, 2 months. I don't miss any of that. I just hate myself for the way I was during that and who I was.
Yeah.
And it's crazy now because we, you know, I'm sitting here with you. I'm in Nashville. I'm in LA. I'm down in Miami. I'm all these places. I'm having fun. We're going to Atlanta. You know, we got all these great things going on, and I'm so blessed to be where I'm at. And it seems like you're now sitting in that same space where you're just like, you're just looking forward. You can say forget everything in the past at that point.
You know what's crazy? That this is the way I look at it, is that I'm in a new city, and I can make my own avatar that I want to.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like my other avatar, I'm over it. You know?
Yeah, you're done with it.
Yeah, and I'm kind of excited to make a new fucking avatar.
Dude, you should be. And you should be because you've worked so hard to be who you are. And you are like, bro, I can't tell you, when I saw you last night, like you're just glowing, man. Yeah. You just look so happy. And like, you there's nothing that makes something, it's just so special when you see people like that.
Yeah.
Right? And like you get to make your own new avatar out here.
Yeah.
That's a phenomenal thing to say.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
I think it's just fucking cool. Like, you know, you can call it a character, you call it this and that, but it's like, fuck, just leaving my old life in the past. Like, it doesn't even exist anymore. Like, this is me. Like, fuck it. Like, if I want to put on boots, I'm going to put on fucking boots.
Yeah, dude. You know? Yeah, dude.
And
you goddamn should. And it's not about what anybody else likes, but you at that point.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And you do that. You have your own swag. You move your own way.
So someone at the CMAs last night said this, that when she was a kid, her parents would force her to get on the horse, and she would just hold on tight. Sometimes she would cry when that thing started bucking, and she would cry and this and that, but she would hold on. She hated it sometimes, right? But she was hating the fact that she was forcing that on that horse. But then she got to love it. And she said that it was a tough ride, but that ride prepared her for the ride that she's on now.
Wow.
And that's life.
And that's fucking life. Yeah. Damn, that's heavy, bro.
And
life that's good. I like that.
Someone once told me that life is about all these ups and downs, right? Which it is. It's that's what makes it, right?
Of course.
So if you were in the hospital and you see the machine, the line going up and down, right? That's because you're alive. But if it was straight, you'd be dead. So that's what life is. It's just the ups and downs. And that's what's going to keep on making me live. It's those ups and downs.
You're in this new space. You're doing well. You're sober. What's next for you, though? What is next for you out whether it's out here, whether it's anywhere, man? Like, what are you looking to accomplish? And do you have any goals that you're trying to crush?
So, if you look behind me, there's a bunch of fucking, like, cool-ass pieces of gear that I have picked out.
Yeah.
I put this studio together and I picked out all this gear, and this is all from my friend and stuff.
And this, all everything behind you was just, this is recently installed and built within the last couple weeks, right?
Yeah, except for the shell.
Okay.
So all the gear and everything was picked out by me, and this gear is very, there's a very specific pieces of gear, and I am excited to, like, really use them and use it on real music. And that's my goal. Like,
that's pumping you up.
My goal is, like, to use this fucking candy behind me, like, and capture some great fucking audio, instrument-wise, mostly instruments. Like, and I think that's going to be the cool part. And actually, last night, looking at the change happening in country music where Jelly Roll fucking...
Yeah.
He won Best New Artist. I think that's going to fusion a lot of hip-hop or urban side, whatever you want to say.
Absolutely.
I think people mistake urban. When they say urban, they think it's like, some people think it's kind of racist or something. But I think the hip-hop side, or, you know, that side of the industry is starting to come this way to, like, well, me too.
Yeah.
You know, speaking as...
That's, I mean, right. Look, you're here, right? Like, I mean, majority of your work, even the space I saw you in, bro, was There was no country music going on.
No, and we're getting accepted into this side, and I think that is what I'm excited for. Like, I do want to use, like, the best, two popular best microphones are inside that booth right there.
They're fucking sick, man.
The best preamp is behind me. One of the best replicas of the best Holy Grail compressors right here on the floor. I have fucking crazy interfaces, like all this shit. Like, I'm such a geek, a gearhead geek, whatever you want, nerd or anything, when it comes to all this shit. So I'm excited to fucking use it and use it on fucking real things and use it, this vintage shit with it, you know?
I love the passion and, like, everybody, you should, that's like, this is kind of where you should be, your mind should be at is trying to occupy this kind of space.
Yeah.
Right? Where you see, like, when Tito's even just talking about the equipment, he's getting jacked up, right? Like, that is his shit. And, like, to find your passion, that is amazing, dude. And now you've envisioned this and you've put it together, and now you're going to be able to use it and crank out some of the, I'm sure, the dopest music ever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, man, you can't put a price on any of that.
Yeah.
You know? What do you want everybody to know about you?
Nothing.
I knew that was going to be the answer.
No.
Nothing. He's so low key, guys.
Yeah, I don't really care for it. But I'll tell you this, like, there is some type of, like, artistry that I do, like, kind of bring with my persona. I haven't figured out what I actually want people to know. So that's why I say nothing.
I like that.
But there is some type of artistry, like, there is some type of energy that I want to, like, leave here. And it doesn't have to necessarily be because, like, the music shit. It just has to be, like, it could be, like, something, like, I don't know, just anything fashion-wise or, like, anything.
But,
like,
that's where that's what you're doing right now. So you're still even figuring that out. And it's okay to not even necessarily have that idea. Like, I couldn't answer that question either because I don't know, right? Like, and I think I don't know it still because I feel like I'm not far enough away from my past to know.
Yeah.
Right? I can appreciate that. So, is there anything else you want to talk about?
So there's this little joke that me and my friends have, that when we, like, when we party and stuff like that, and, like, we have girls over and stuff, we call it Ram Ranch. And so we're taking it on to, like, more of, like, some clothing, like hats and shit like that. And it's called Ram Ranch. But that's something I'm kind of excited for, too. I just got to put more time into it. And just watching someone else run businesses around me, I got to just, like, because
that shit's contagious.
Yeah. So that's business. And there's music business, you know. So that right there is, like, I want to learn more about that and figure out how to, I'm going to figure it out, how to, like, do this, like, bring up this brand, whatever type of brand I want it to be, if it's a clothing brand or if it's a party brand or for whatever it is. But it's called Ram Ranch, and I think that name is so funny. But I think it's kind of it was even before this whole Western, like, Tennessee thing, but I think it fits this whole thing that
it sounds like it fits us.
Yeah.
And this is like, so I mean, you're doing music, you're in business, you're digging into fashion, right? I think it's amazing too, the support that you offer your friends.
Yeah.
In that space as well, because you know, when your friends get something going, man, and you guys aren't there to support them or whatever, that sucks.
Yeah.
So support what your friends are doing. Even maybe if you don't believe in it, dig in a little more so you can try.
Yeah.
Because I think that's so cool. Even with, it's called Aura.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, or yeah. Yeah. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? It's like when I met my friend, his name's Matthew Fields, by the way.
Shout out
Matthew Fields. So I keep on saying friend, but Matthew Fields, he's the one that has a studio. He has a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Him, when I met him, like I told you, I had no style and this and that. And so funny that, because it's contagious of, like, that energy, and then, like, you're into it and you're picking out these pieces and stuff like that. They don't even have to be the greatest pieces in the world. They don't have to be designer and stuff like that. Like, I thrift a lot of stuff, and I wear, like, what I wear. I don't give a fuck what it is, you know? But when, like, you just learn how to, like, figure it out and like wear it in the right way and stuff like that. And now he asks me for advice and I feel great about it. And I always ask him advice because he's like he got me into it.
We have the dopest friends, bro. I look up
to him, you know? But yeah, it's just like, it's cool. So it's like, I'm just like seeing things and stuff like that. So I'm very excited for like all these things and like fashion and everything, like music wise and his taste in music. He's doing music with me, but his taste in music, and he called this country shit that was gonna happen maybe 2 years ago, and now it's happening. And he's always called it, like I told you, the clothing brands that were gonna pop off, he called it, like certain things, like, and now it's all happening, and he was up on it. Like, his taste is like in the future.
That's fucking dope.
Yeah.
That's so dope, bro.
Yeah.
That's so dope.
So that's who is my mentor. And I think it's very cool. But yeah, so this whole artistry type of like persona that I have and like and stuff like that, he's helped me build it.
You're one of the most creative people I know. I mean, seriously, like as far as your music goes, you're talking about business. You're a fashionable guy, right? Like, you rock... What, I don't know, is it gray hair, silver hair? Like, fucking swag, bro. So my
gray hair started happening in sixth grade, and I just let it happen. And then I started realizing that a lot of girls would give me comments for it. So I started to love it.
I think it's dope, bro.
I never fucking, like, even decided to change it.
You just let it ride.
Yeah. So, but, yeah. But it's crazy. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's all fun. It's a fun ride, and I guess we all don't know what we're doing in either way, and then we'll just figure it out. And maybe we did it the right way. Maybe we did it, and it still worked out.
I finished the podcast. Do you have anything else?
No, that's about it.
I finished the podcast, and I ask everybody this. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate your happiness? And if you're not at a 10, what do you think you can do to get yourself closer to a 10?
I think happiness is kind of an illusion. I think it's just like just being good, like just feeling good. When you feel good, right? You never like it's not like I felt better yesterday, but when you felt good yesterday, you still felt the same good as today.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much it was, you know? Like, so I think like, I don't know, right now at this moment, I can't be any even more happier, because like material things is not going to make it better.
I like that. Yeah, you are about 100%. You're mentally here, right? Yeah. Like, you really keep in that space, and you seem to really analyze your feelings and your emotions.
Yeah.
And then you have a tendency to really keep those in check, and you've even made changes in your life to be better at it.
Yeah.
And so like, you seem happy. Yeah. And I know you're not somebody that really shows emotion like that anyways.
Yeah.
But you seem happy, and I can't tell you how cool that is to see, and how much I appreciate you opening up and talking about that stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's tools that I got out of today that I have not gotten since I started this.
Yeah.
I really appreciate
that. I tell people this, like you need to observe yourself, right? So it's like, if you're always getting fucked up, like, and you feel great about getting fucked up, there's no problem with that. Like, there's not even a problem about getting fucked up. Like, I won't judge that. But there, if you are saying that sometimes like you think that you should take a break, once you observe yourself how you feel when you take a break and write those observations down so you remember them. So when you go back to getting fucked up, you realize which one feels better, you know?
For me, even writing things down is really important.
Yeah.
And
because we all forget.
We all forget.
Yeah.
And I think like when you talk about that, that's very real, dude, because I feel the same way even about myself. You know, when I get fucked up, I don't really love that, you know? And then I'll go, a couple days without getting fucked up or whatever it might be. And I'm not getting fucked up nearly like I was every once in a while. Yeah. But I'll drink sometimes now, you know? I'll turn it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never wake up and go, oh man, I'm glad I did that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm usually waking up going, well, if I didn't do that last night, I'd feel a lot better right now.
Yeah.
Right? So, man... That was amazing. What, like, you just made so many great points, and I hope that we can all just take these tools and run with them. And check out Tito, obviously, Tito Just Music. I'll drop his Instagram link in the description. I want to drop Aura in the description as well.
So Aura, it's just aura.watch. But yeah, aura.watch is for the Instagram too, and that's the actual website too. or a dot watch.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dope. Well, thank you. Thank you for letting us come here. Thank you for sitting down with us. This was super spur of the moment. I literally hit Tito up yesterday. I'm like, are you in Nashville or LA? And so, and then we linked last night after the CMAs, and you're the man. So thank you, bro. For real. Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.